If you're faithful over the little things, God will give you the great big ones. I was at Teen Challenge Greater Cleveland, Ohio, and there was a young man that deserved to be written up. And back then, our write-ups were they had to write so many scriptures out of the Word of God. And if they were really bad, we gave them Psalms 119. And depending on how bad they were, it was 3, 4, 5 times they had to write out Psalms 119, which is, if you don't know, it's the longest chapter in the Word of God. It's big enough to be a book unto itself. It's just monstrously huge. I was reminded that there was a young man, and he took a piece of chocolate cake from his neighbor. It's just a piece of cut chocolate cake. It didn't really mean anything. But he took it, and he put it on his plate, and I saw it. And I grabbed him, and I said, come back here, man. Come back here, Kevin. And Kevin said, I didn't do nothing. Man, isn't that just like the nature that we were raised with? We know we're in trouble. We know we've done wrong, but the first thing we're going to do is deny it. I didn't do nothing. I said, come on. Man, this is bogus. What you think you're doing to me, Brother Mike? I didn't do nothing. I said, Kevin, just come on. I can't believe you're going to call me out. I said, Kevin, come on. Closed the door, and I said, you didn't do anything. Was that your piece of chocolate cake? No. I said, don't you know the rules? Yeah. I said, change your tune. I said, now you deserve the discipline that I should give you. But I'm going to teach you a lesson in grace. The reason you're having so many problems in your life, Kevin, is because you can't be faithful over the little bitty things in your life. You see, when you're faithful over the small things, the little rules, it's then that God sees fit to bless you with the great big things. I didn't think anything more of it. I was a 22-year-old kid. I just went on about my life. 2 years later, I called back to Teen Challenge to talk with the director because we'd be in 10 months, away from God, away from my... I was with God. Believe me, I was with God. But I was away from God's country and his people down here in, southern Iowa and northern Missouri. And I was feeling, just like I needed to talk to somebody I loved that I trusted in the faith. And I called back, and Kevin picked up the phone. See, he had gone clear all the way through our program, and he had come back on staff, and I didn't know it. And I said, can I talk to Brother Murray? And Kevin goes, can I tell him who's calling? I said, yeah, this is Brother Mike Douthart. I'd just like to. He said, wait a minute. I said, what? He said, Brother Mike Douthart? I said, yeah. He said, short, fat, red-headed, Pentecostal, King James Version, only Bible-believing, Brother Mike Douthart. I said, well done. I got to talk to you. I said, well, what's going on, brother? He said, I was your student. Don't you remember? I said, not really. He said, I'm the one that stole the chocolate cake. I said, now I remember. What is it, Kevin? He said, your lesson in grace, I hated you for 5 months. Because when I laid down in bed at night, I heard, if you're faithful over the little bitty things, I'll give you the great big ones. When I woke up in the morning, I heard, if you're faithful over the little bitty things, I'll give you the great big ones. He said, when I halfway through the day just paused for a moment to myself, I heard, if you're faithful over the little bitty things, I'll give you the great big ones. He said, Brother Mike, I found a way. After 5 months of hating you, you become my dearest friend. And I have got to say thank you for sowing the word into my life. I become faithful. Amen. You want to know why God can't bless you with all those big dreams you have? You see, those big dreams are really part of our calling that God intends us to strive for. But the reason he can't give them to you is because you won't be faithful over this little stuff down here. I love the word of God that says, despise not small beginnings. And we're not who we were as a ministry team yesterday. We're growing. And we'll be something different next year when we come back. Hopefully better. Hopefully better. Hopefully larger. I love all these young people. I do. Why'd you say all that? For 12 years, I've preached to Brandon simple messages. Just be faithful over what God's given you. My brother back here said, last night you preached a word that was simple. We need more of that. I'm going to preach a word that's complicated tonight. In a very simple way. On the 15th of January this year, I was on my school bus. If you don't know, I'm a school bus driver. And how many of y'all know that January is a cold month? Generally not much humidity in the air. And when I walk, I've got very hairy legs. And they build a wonderful static electricity charge. And I reached out to touch the emergency door handle because I have to every day. And when I did, wow! I got lit up. It turned, it just absolutely such a powerful shock from static that it made my hand go numb. You know, you may be in pain, but that's when God desires to speak to you. And what he said to me was so powerful, I wrote it down. He said, I desire to be a savior, not a stranger. Write that down. What's that got to do with my finger being numb? Then he said, I desire for my power to build inside of you until there is a release that takes you and the church by surprise. Brother Mike, this isn't a shouting service. This is revival. When did we limit God? Maybe we just building a little bit of static. Getting ready for a charge release. That's going to change me. And change you. Something building, Brother Payne. Something's building. If you open your Bible to James chapter 4, verse 7. I'm going to preach, hopefully not real long tonight. I'm going to preach about static and resistance. And I'm going to preach about the power of God being released in your life. How's that sound? See, the world's a cold place and we can't help it. We live in it. And they treat us with hostility all of the time. And most of us can't figure out why. And let me tell you right now why. They can't figure you out. And when they come in contact with a person who really loves God and really trusts God, I'm not talking about you, Christian, who are sitting in the house tonight, but when you get outside these doors, want to play games with God. No, this might not be entirely for you to understand yet. But one day when that switch comes on and you decide that you're going to be the man or the woman that God called you to be, you're going to understand exactly what I'm talking about. The world is hostile towards the church. And the reason for that is when they get around us, what happens is they get under a little bit of conviction and it shocks them, takes them by surprise. They watch you hit your thumb with that hammer and they go, we're going to see what kind of person they are now. And you go, oh, ha, praise the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. Brother Roger, this is not something that comes natural to us. It's something we got to work at. Thank you, Jesus. And what happens is they go, he's supposed to be cussing. He's supposed to be screaming. She's supposed to be crying. Why are they thanking the Lord? And it shocks them. If we're not providing resistance against what the world is doing, then we're blending in too much. See, light illuminates darkness. And we were called to be light to darkness. Amen. The Bible says a city that's set up on a hill, it can't be hid. And let me tell you this much. If you're doing what God has called you to do, then he's put you on display in a world that's lost and dying. He set you up on a hill. Now you wonder why the enemy knows where you're at? Because the true condition of the light of your heart shows who you really are. You're easy to spot. You're easy to see. Understand this. The more time you give the devil, I'll say that again. The more time you give the devil, the more powerful he becomes in you. Amen. It's not whether or not he's coming at you, Brother Chuck. It's whether or not you give him any mind. See, you're a blood-bought, born-again child of the Most High God. You're covered by the blood of Jesus. He has no business in your life. You don't have to give way to him at all, ever. Not now, not ever. And yet we entertain him, don't we? Why? Because he comes in, and then the first thing we start to do is compare ourselves. Well, Ben can do it. Ben can go down there and hang out with them teenagers. Why can't I? God didn't call you to them teenagers. Leave them alone.
That's right. Amen.
I can't make it plainer. Maybe I can. Maybe I can say this. It ain't your business to look at what Ben's doing. Close your eyes and get you right.
Amen. Amen.
See, we so much desire to be liked. Don't tell me that you really think Jesus' desire was to be liked. Jesus' desire was to change the world. And if you really set out to change the world, they ain't going to like you all the time. They ain't going to like you most of the time. God, why are they talking about me behind my back in the church house? You know what? Let the sinners in. Let the sinners in and keep them in there. Don't run them off. I preached it last year, or maybe it was earlier this year, and Matthew hasn't let me live it down. God, change me to where I get a burden for them and pray them through to victory. Listen, we do each other wrong in the church. That's not right, but it happens. Why? God's trying to work stuff out of us. He is. How many of y'all have ever seen a puppy dog? 6 months old. And you love that puppy when you're home, and when you leave, it destroys everything. I'll show you. That's just about what you think's going through its mind. I'll show you. Leave me alone. Who do you think you are? And I'm not referring to us as dogs, because even children have the same tendency. When they're left alone, they self-destruct. What you talking about? What you talking about, Willis? This is what I'm talking about. We're babes in Christ, and he's bringing us along. Some of us still got our spiritual Pampers on. Been in the church 25 years. Praise God, I've been saved 25 years. Part of this community, part of this church. Still won't pay my tithe, but I believe in God. Oh, Lord, did you go there? That's all I'm going to say about it. Other than, if that's you, you need changed. You stink. God never called you to come in and sit in a pew and not grow. He called you to be his child so he could raise you up. Brandon may not be perfect, but at least he's humble and he's willing to come back and bow a knee at an altar and say, God, I've messed up. And every time he does that, God's raising him up to be a stronger young man of God. That's not my job to judge him. It's my job to love him and bring him through. It's my job to lift him up and bring him into grace so that he can understand who Jesus really is through me. Now, if Brandon was hardened and said, no, I'm not going to change, then we're going to have to talk. We're going to have to do something. But as long as they have a tender spirit, Let them stay. They need Jesus as much, if not more, than you do. Listen, I don't know how to make it plainer. The reason that they chide you so much is because they see God in you. They see the power of the Holy Ghost working in you, on you, and through you, and they want it. And jealousy's ugly. Is there jealousy in the church house? You bet. You bet. There's people that's jealous of me in this ministry team. He ain't nothing. He's just a little farm boy down there. What kind of training does he have? I don't know. I'm a fifth generation preacher on my father's side of the family. I'm a third generation preacher on my mother's side of the family. I don't have any training. I've got a calling. And I've got a heritage. And I've got understanding that if God called me, He equipped me. And I'm going to see souls saved for the kingdom of God. As He gives me understanding, as He gives me words to speak, as He gives me a message for you tonight. You think people like me? A lot of people don't like me. Now ask me if I care. See, I discovered at a very young age in ministry that you can't just make everybody like you. And if you can't make everybody like you, then why not just leave it up to God? Because God's the only one that can really affect whether somebody likes you or not. If I can't change, listen, some of you came in tonight, you looked at this green suit and you went, wow! But green means go. And I want to equip you tonight to go and change your world.
Amen.
I done do the, you think the suit's loud? Wait till you see this tie. Well, amen. Got a bright tie on, too. Someone said you were, the tie's awful loud last night. And I said, wait till you see the suit tomorrow. What are you talking about? Listen, I don't dress bold and fancy just so that you can see me. I dress bold and fancy. Sister Mary, where'd she go? She's a wise woman. I know why you'd wear a suit like that, Brother Mike. Finally, someone figured it out. Because nobody can take their eyes off of you.
Amen.
What are you talking about? Listen to me. You're a royal priesthood. You're a chosen generation. You're a godly people. I'm not speaking to a church of the unsaved tonight. I'm speaking to a church that loves the Lord. We just can't get along with everybody all the time. How do you know that? Who's been talking to you? Listen, if this is hitting close to home, God's been talking to me. Because Pastor and I don't discuss anything. And you know what? I love that. A lot of pastors want to call me and tell me what to preach when I come to their church, and I don't ever preach it. Because it's not what God says. I want a word for this church. I want a word for you. I desire to build my power in you. So that when you go out into the world, they're taken by surprise. Listen to me carefully. When Christ is a Savior, He's your best friend. Because He's the reason you're changed. When Christ is a stranger, ain't nobody your best friend. Because even though you profess, and I'm not talking about the world, I'm talking about the church. Even though you profess Him, you won't walk with Him. Too busy running around with dirty diapers. Oh, Lord. Hope you have us back next year. Too busy wanting to be bottle fed instead of taking a fork and a knife and cutting your own meat. What are you talking about? Brother Donnie, Brother Payne, feed me. Feed me, Pastor. How about we feed ourselves and then we tell the pastor what God's been speaking to us? That way it encourages him and gets him preaching better. You want to get your pastor preaching better? Study. I'm speaking from knowledge here. When I came to Iowa City, my pastor was dried up inside. He was dead. In fact, I made the statement in November, and God took me there in December. I said, that church is dead. It's dried up from the roots, and I want nothing to do with it. It's exactly what I said. And God said, okay, well, that's where I'm sending you. I said, God, I can't do anything. He said, you're right. But what you can do is just love them. And when you love them, you'll bring them into restoration. Listen to me carefully what I just said. It's the key to everything. Your brother or sister have done you wrong. They're not on fire. You don't see the power of God flowing through them. You love them. I've got to love my enemy. Isn't that the word of God? Love them to despitefully use you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. For great is your reward in heaven. Hello? That's the word. Yeah, we got to love them. We might not like them all the time. That's when we need to pray harder for them. When they rub us like sandpaper, understand it is sandpaper. It's designed to smooth you into the Christian and the perfect shining example of who Jesus called you to be. That's good preaching. We can't win the lost if we expect perfection when they walk through our doors. We win the lost by allowing the power of God build in us, discharge on them, and them want it, because that kind of peace they don't even know. That kind of joy they don't understand. How many of you really understand that in the face of your adversity, you're able to smile and say, God, I give it to you? How many of you really understand what a tremendous act of courage that is? How many of you really understand that when you're standing defeated, that's when you need to really hit your knees and call on the name of the Lord Jesus and get changed? Brother Roger, Sister Liz, when you were first saved, I'm sure they had an old phrase. So you got to pray through. Pastor told me the other day, she said, she said, God gave me a sermon on the golden rule. How many of y'all remember what the golden rule is? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. She said, but I can't preach it. I said, why not? She said, I'm not willing to submit to it yet. She said, I got a congregation of scoundrels. Will you pray for me, Brother Mike? You know, when people make confessions like that, God's already done something. She said, no, it took me a month before I was able to preach my sermon on the golden rule. Why? Because God was working something out in her. He was making a change. He was building power and authority in her life. If you, child of God, listen to me, would understand the authority you have in Jesus Christ, you would not be weak, you would not be powerless, and you would not be lame in the spirit tonight. You would understand that you are covered by the blood of Jesus. You need nothing more than that. It's the blood that heals. It's the blood that delivers. And it's the blood that will change and protect your life. Amen. You would understand that you're a child of the Most High God. You are not given a spirit of bondage again to fear. But there are people in this place under the sound of my voice tonight that are living in a spirit of bondage and fear. But you are given in a spirit of adoption unto redemption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Ha ha! Oh, Lord, have mercy. I see three smiles. You know what that means? When the enemy's down here tormenting us and they're on our level, Big Brother Jesus steps up behind and goes, because I'm not my own. I'm bought with the spirit of adoption unto redemption. I've got authority because I'm a child of God. I've got authority because I'm called by God. Therefore, I can walk in my anointing. I've got authority. My problem is I'm not really willing to submit everything I've got to Him. See, I want to be able to provide and protect. Ooh, that's hard, Brother Payne. I want to be able to provide and protect. Didn't Jesus said, I'll supply all your needs according to my riches in Christ Jesus? Wasn't it Job that prayed for a hedge of protection? And then Jesus gave his blood as that hedge? So if he's already provided, he's already protected, why in the world are we worried? Amen. Matthew's going to speak a minute in the morning about how that God called him. He stepped into it before he even knew how he was going to have a place to stay or be able to put food on the table. What a word. And God's called each one of you to do the same thing, and you're sitting around worried about it. See, Brother Payne, I don't sense in this house tonight a spirit of exuberance before the Lord. I sense in this house tonight a spirit of being worn out. And it's not physical. It's spiritual. This church is worn. And the reason is because you haven't been to the blood covering of protection in a while. You haven't gotten a hold of God in a while. You haven't prayed through in a while. That pastor that said that she couldn't preach the sermon on the golden rule, she said, I know I got people in my church ain't going to like me giving an altar call at a funeral, but they can just pray through. We need to remember a couple of those old things. Grabbing a hold of the horns of the altar. What it meant is, Lord, I'm worthy of death. I've committed sin and I've committed atrocity before you. I'm worthy of death, but I beseech your mercy. And if it's approving unto you, let me live. I'm not that bad. There we go, comparing ourselves again. Well, I'm fine, Brother Mike. You sing, I feel goosebumps. That's not power, and that's not authority. It might just be that the air conditioner is blowing on you. Listen to me carefully. This is very important. Come get ready, guys. We were in Omaha, Nebraska, visiting my wife's cousins. He's in seminary. And I said to him, I said, Jason, tell me, what do you know about God? Brother Roger, those seminary students, I end up counseling more of them, and I wonder why I didn't go. Most of them I've ever counseled stayed in the ministry. Stayed in the ministry. Ready to quit. But power and authority was spoken to their life. I said, Jason, tell me, what do you know about God? Well, God is